Hello, and welcome to Humans of Van Life, the most raw, authentic, and diverse podcast made on the road. I am Nikki, and I'll be your host. Join me in the rolling studio while we hear how people have diverted from society's idea of normal and made their lives on the road. Thank you so much for being here. Hey, you guys, before we dive into the next episode, I wanted to jump on here and tell you guys some exciting news. And that is I created a Patreon account. If you haven't heard of Patreon, that's no problem. It's a platform where people can support the creators that they love and listen to. To find my Patreon account, head over to the link in my Instagram bio at The Humans of Van Life, or type in www.patreon.com/TheHumansOfVanLife. Hello and welcome to Humans of Van Life. I am stoked to be here. I'm currently in Jack's van, which is awesome because it's a new environment and I need to adapt. Normally I'm in my own rolling studio, so this is fun. And yeah, so I met Jack. How did I meet you?
In Newcastle. At a cafe with Alex and Feli.
That's right.
Yeah, it's probably like 2 months ago now.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That feels like a long time ago. Like, so much has changed since then.
Yeah.
And we're finally getting the chance to sit down now and
hear
your story. So that's fun.
Sick. Yeah.
So I'd like to just start off by asking you what you're living in right now.
This is a 2007 Toyota Hiace. And it's sick. I love it. Her name's Honey. And
why do you call her Honey?
So when you come home at night to go to bed, you can say, "Honey, I'm home."
Amazing, that's awesome.
That's good.
And did you do the build yourself?
Yeah. Well, there's not much to do in here. Mm. I just put the bed in. Mm-hmm. I used to be a carpenter before this, and I sort of just picked up timber on my way out from work and sort of put it in myself.
How long have you lived in Honey for?
In 4 days, it will be a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did you ever live in a van before, or is this like your first time in a van?
I used to go camping heaps.
Mm.
We had lots of campers and all sorts of tents and stuff, but never like in a car. Mm. But I love it. It's so easy.
So what made you decide to get this van and do this lifestyle?
This is probably a year and a bit ago. I like quit my job and I was going music full time. And then it didn't really make sense to be paying rent anywhere because I was traveling heaps.
Mm.
And I thought if I could drive everywhere, that would like cover accommodation and as well.
Mm.
And you get to see like the whole coast and wherever you play. So yeah, I didn't really want to pay rent. I didn't want housemates, roommates or anything like that. So I bought my own van and I've been in it ever since.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I remember when you, me, and Johnny were sitting down over dinner for Alex's birthday.
Yeah.
Not sure if you remember that
or not. Yeah, of course I
do. Just kidding. And we were discussing how, like, as a musician, there's no other way, really. Like, there's just, it doesn't make sense, like, when you're traveling as much as you are. So do you feel like you could go back to living in a house now? Now that you've, like, experienced this?
Right now? No.
Hmm.
It's like too easy, like everything about it's so easy, like even when we're not touring you can sleep where you want to wake up and it's so easy to go surfing or to play music or to busk or like you don't have to be anywhere.
Mm.
So like everything I have in here right now is everything that I need, and if I can just drive around and have everything you need all at once all the time, it's so easy.
Mm.
And I mean, I don't miss a house. It's too easy.
Yeah, it is too easy. And have you struggled at all, or has this just been literally too easy?
I think everyone, yeah, you definitely have your ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggled this year, like, because I do a lot of touring, like, by myself. So I haven't, like, always had people with me on the road or anything. So I was doing, like, thousands of Ks by myself. And, like, if you got sick or tired, you're just, like, in this confined space. And, like, sometimes you just want out. You just, like, wish you could go somewhere. But, no, apart from that, it's, like, it's pretty good. Yeah.
So would you say that you've experienced, like, loneliness in this lifestyle?
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah. Loneliness, especially because I'm driving, like, I've been, like, this is the most movement I've ever done in my life, like, this whole year, like, moving around. When you get tired all the time, you get, like, real lonely as well.
Mm.
So, but it's just part of the job. It's just what you do.
Wow.
But, like, my last tour, I had my mate, or you met Felipe.
Yeah.
He came on the tour, so there was two vans. So you had a mate, and if you wanted to, like, pull over and, like, you could have a chat or go surfing with each other or go to a cafe or something, you're not, like, constantly talking to yourself.
Yeah, it can get pretty fucking lonely.
Oh, man, yeah. I went pretty loopy at some points. It's like, just talking to myself, making stuff up.
Hallucinating. But,
yeah, delirious, like, anyways.
And so, I didn't know this actually, but you just recently dove into music this year?
Or? Yeah. Well, I was living in Brisbane and played, like, pubs and bars and RSL clubs, taverns, bowls clubs, like, anything you can think of. I was gigging, like, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and working during the week, like, full time. So, it was good to, like, start off with, but also, like, burnt out, and I wasn't, like, progressing in my own stuff. It's all, like, other people's songs and covers, gigs, and so it wasn't sort of, like, defining my craft. I wasn't, like, growing as a songwriter myself. So then I just kind of, like, had enough material to record, like, my first EP, which I went and did, which was down here in Byron. And then, yeah, then the van life kind of just came with that. Mm-hmm. And then pretty much since that come out, I've just been, like, playing all my own stuff for, like, yeah, this whole year.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been good.
And so you feel like your sole income is now from your music?
It is.
Wow.
I don't do anything else.
And that's enough to sustain you?
Yeah. Well, the whole point of the van is you have no expenses. I don't have electricity bills. I don't pay for water. I don't pay rates. I don't pay a mortgage. I don't pay rent. I pay rego and insurance, and that's it.
Brilliant.
And petrol. Oh, petrol's a killer.
Mm.
Fucking hate petrol.
Yeah.
I only get a solar-powered car, I reckon. Like a Tesla van.
Oh my God, is there Tesla vans?
I don't know. They should do it, but... That would be Toyota needs to come out with a electric van.
Totally, yeah, because it's steep, and especially you're driving so far.
Yeah. Like,
you're always on the road, literally, so...
Yeah, literally, so...
Mm.
That's kind of the dream.
Mm.
Yeah.
And have you felt like this lifestyle has provided you in the... Well, actually, I think I can answer that question because I've heard a couple of your songs, but I'm wondering if this lifestyle's inspired, or even that sense of loneliness, has that inspired some songwriting for you?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm.
I think... Yeah, the lifestyle of this definitely, like, comes across in... I think when you talk to people, any musos who live in vans, especially lonely ones, there's always a hint of, like, loneliness in songs or, like, quietness or, like, a missing, like, you're missing something or whatever.
Mm.
But, yeah, for sure, it always comes in your writing, I think. It gets pretty quiet.
Mm.
Huh.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But it's inspirational as well. Like, you can talk about heaps of things that you see. Because, like, majority of my writing is about, like, places I've been or things I've seen or people I've met or, like, things you've felt. And I think that's, like, you can draw heaps from living this lifestyle.
Because
you see so much more. You're, like, always moving. You're, like, always going new places or seeing different things. So there's more to write about. I think it's cool.
Not locked up in your mama's basement, like.
Yeah, literally, like.
Trying to jam out.
Going the same place, like, every day.
Mm.
Seeing the same people every day. That's fine if you like it and you're stoked with it. Like, it's all about being happy with what you do. But yeah, it just wasn't enough for me to, like. I was just, like, bored, I guess. I can't say I've been too bored this year.
Mm.
I've been pretty lucky. Just, like, constantly moving. I'd rather be tired from been drained out and worn out than be bored. So, yeah.
I can't agree more.
Yeah, it's sick.
That's such a, like, a simple way to put it, but so true. Like, I haven't been... I've lived in Van as well for a year and a couple months now, and I haven't been bored once.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, this lifestyle, it's a lot of work. It's extra work.
Yeah.
I feel, at least... And I'm sure you do as well, like with going to the bathroom, with, you know, cooking, all those little things that people take for granted often.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's never a dull moment.
Yeah, totally.
That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah, there's like always something going on. Or like, so, yeah, I don't know, something's always entertaining, I think, in the van. Something's always like occupying your mind. Yeah. For sure.
And so what did your family think when you decided to choose this?
Like,
was your parents like,
I can't remember, they totally backed it. I know they wanted me to keep going and like with my trade and stuff, but I thought while I was motivated and kind of hit it while it's hot thing, I sort of just like took the leap to like go play music and live in a van. And I don't know, there was a point where I was like, what if I was not doing this, I'd still be like living at home with mom and like been like full reliant on that sort of thing all the time. And but I like being independent. Like, I have my own house, if you want to call it a house, or your own space. But yeah, I think they've been like supportive for everything, for sure. Yeah, I'm glad I did it. It's like, I don't really want to go back to work. Yeah.
And it's interesting you said, like, hit it while it's hot, because I know that you and I have had this conversation before a little bit with music. It's kind of the thing that you have to ride. Like, you got to ride that wave. Like, while it's up, you ride it, right? Because it's not always there. In the music industry, at least, I think I was
hearing. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like, I've met, like, a heap of different musos this year and or artists, like, of all sorts, and like the ups and downs that they've had, like, it's crazy. It can go, like, you can plummet so quickly, but you can like, you can have such a good time for so long as well. But yeah, I just thought, like, while I was, I didn't want to get to like, you know, late 20s or whatever and say, oh, I wish I started like earlier or something like that. And I mean, I had songs like at the time that were like ready to go or ready to be like played live, and I thought, why not?
Because
playing Wonderwall gets pretty boring. It kind of sucks.
Amazing.
I'm so over that song, but
the number one song that we all know.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Do you guys know Horses in Canada? In Canada.
Horses.
Yeah, by Darryl Braithwaite.
No.
It's like the Australian equivalent of Wonderwall.
And Horses. Like,
yeah.
What's the, like...
That's the way it's gonna be, little darling.
Oh.
You go riding on the horses, yeah. But yeah, that's like pub banger and...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that sort of stuff. I just don't like doing that anymore.
You're on to
it. It was great to start off with, because like, taught you how to like work crowds and stuff. Know what people want. But I kind of put a stop sign on that stuff, and I was like, you guys can do that, but I'm gonna go play my own stuff. Like, so yeah,
I actually wanted to ask you, like, how you got your performing skills. Like, what I've watched a couple of your shows now, and I've noticed that you have a unique way of connecting with the audience that I really admire. You're so, like, you're humble as fuck up there, but you also, you engage the audience, and I wanted to know, like, where you learnt your ability to perform.
Yeah, I guess...
Through Wonderwall?
So, yeah, I was going to say, playing those songs, like, can suck for sure. But, like, when you've got, like, there was, like, I think I was, like, the day I turned 18 and in Australia, I could legally play pub gigs, like, because I could get into the venue to play and make money. I was, like, all over it. I was, like, sick, I'm going to go play all these songs to drunk people and get paid for it. And I was like, sick, awesome. And with that comes, like, obviously, yeah, drunk people, and you, like, got to learn how to deal with them. And what they want to hear or what the venue wants you to like bring to their venue. So you had to like keep everyone happy. And yeah, so yeah, a year and a half or nearly 2 years of doing like public bars and pubs and clubs and everything like that, I kind of just like got used to knowing what people wanted. And then it definitely helped with like playing my stuff now, like settling nerves and stuff. And yeah, like I've played like sports bars to like 60-year-old dudes that are just like watching footy and shit, and I was just like, oh man, I was that guy in the corner trying to, you know, just, you just background music really.
And today's gonna be the
day. Yeah, literally. Yeah, I know. I've had coasters thrown at me and like
little
pencils from like the TAB room and stuff like that. So I don't know, nothing really phases me now because I know it can't be as bad as that. So yeah, I know. And now that I'm like lucky enough that I'm like touring and playing my own songs, I guess people that have come to see like me and the songs, you kind of like feel like it's a team effort anyway. They're not punters anymore. They're not just a pub crowd. They're like people that are there for you and like to see your show. So that makes it so much easier to like interact with them. I'd rather walk up to someone and talk to them that was watching me for 45 minutes than walk up to the guy, 60-year-old dude with a beer gut at the bar watching the footy at a pub who's been listening to the show. So yeah. But yeah, the bad shows make you appreciate the good ones for sure.
It's just like the analogy for life, you know?
Yeah,
you totally gotta come down, you gotta feel the shits to really appreciate the highs.
Totally, yeah. For sure.
And what I really admire about musicians is that you've really got to be vulnerable. Like, you got to start from somewhere, and you got to put yourself out there. And I really feel for you guys. Like, you're busking. You're constantly putting yourself out there, which means you're constantly subjected to people. Like, not everybody's going to love you. Not everybody's going to resonate with your music. Matter of fact, the honest truth is some people are going to think you suck.
Exactly.
And that's a hard conversation to have, but it is the truth, you know?
It's reality.
Yeah, and so I just, like, think it takes a lot of courage and vulnerability for you guys to do that.
Yeah, I've kind of said this whole year that, like pubs and stuff and all that, busking is the scariest thing like ever, I reckon. You, like you said, you're so vulnerable, you're putting everything out there, and there's, you know, you can play venues with like barriers to separate, like physical barriers to set you from the crowd, you have distance and all this stuff. If you're in the street, people are like from me to you away, like not far at all, and they can, you can see everything. Yeah,
see, so their facial features when they're like, this person sucks.
I'm pretty lucky, I've got shit eyesight, so I can't always see that stuff, but and I don't know if I want to, but but yeah, that, but busking's a cool thing, like you said, you're putting everything out there for people to listen to, whether they like it or not. You know, whether they stop or not depends on, you know, what you're playing. And and yeah, there's like no pressure for anyone to stop at all. So, you know, it makes you feel good when, you know, there's nothing stopping them from being there or leaving it either. So the fact that we can draw people in just on the street to like have such a good night is way more rewarding than, you know, a few $100 from a pub and like beers and stuff like that. Yeah, it just puts everything in perspective, and it's so good, especially somewhere here like Byron, you have so many nationalities, and just buses and buses of people every day in and out, and there's always new people coming here, especially over summer now, there's always new crowds, like, you know, you never play to the same people twice, so you have, like, heaps of different nationalities and everything. It's more than just like playing on the street, you're playing whole other countries and continents and all sorts of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, so
it's a good way to put that. That's a really good way. Yeah. Like, you never played the same person twice.
Yeah.
So neat.
It's so, because it's so busy. Mm-hmm. The word's busy. It's such a busy place. And, you know, I'm super, like I've just done my first East Coast tour of my own this year. And I can almost guarantee, like, 80% of people that have come to shows have seen us busking, like myself and Felipe and Johnny. They all, you know, or I know for sure, like, people have come up to us and said, oh, we saw you on the street in February or January at the start of the year, and now we're at, like, shows, like, playing in their city, like, and it's crazy. It's so cool.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's great.
Wow. God, yeah, Byron's a really unique place. Buskers everywhere, every day.
Yeah.
And how often do you busk?
Oh, I don't know.
Every day. What,
yeah, well, once I got the taste of it at the start of the year with Johnny, we were doing it every night. Like, I think I did, like, every night for about 7 or 8 weeks straight.
Wow.
Because I wasn't touring, and it was summer, and I had nothing else to do. So we were just busking, surfing, and
living.
Yeah, like, literally living.
Literally living.
So fun, yeah.
Okay, and then, because I have no idea, what is, like, a good night busking in terms of money, like, monetary value?
Oh, I don't know. Depends, like, I don't know, like, like, CDs-wise is, I was selling sometimes, like, well, I know last summer, I haven't really gotten into it yet this summer, but, like, last summer I was selling anywhere between, like, 20 to 30 CDs a night.
Wow, and, like, 10
at, like,
bucks a
10
CD.
Bucks each. And then, you know, there's, like, heaps of coffee money and all sorts of stuff thrown in. So, yeah, it fluctuates for sure.
It's different.
It's definitely quieter in winter.
Mm.
There's not as much happening.
And it's winter time right now, right?
No, now it's, what is it? Does it, now it's summer.
Oh, it's, oh, okay. Yeah, right. It's winter for me. Okay, that makes
sense.
It's,
okay. It's winter in Canada, right?
It's winter. Yeah.
It's cold there, man.
It's cold.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, when you do your Canada tour. You
Yeah. It might be a June, August trip.
Oh,
June, July.
That's the best time, baby.
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple questions I wanted to ask.
Yeah.
You gotta tell me this, your song Gypsy.
Yeah.
What, who, like, what is it about? Like, where did you get those words?
Gypsy is a person.
Okay.
It was before I'd, like, started living in my van.
I can't take you seriously.
What?
With your shoe on your head. It's amazing. That's amazing.
Just getting prepped for tonight.
Yeah, keep it on. No, it's good. It's funny.
Yeah, before I moved in my van, I was actually down here in the Northern Rivers. Mm. And so,
it's okay.
And I just met this girl she was from Scandinavia. I can't remember which country. But she pretty much, like, split up with her long-term boyfriend. Someone close to her had passed away. And, like, she was just fed up with everything. And, like, she had nothing was keeping her there but work. And she pretty much said there's more to life. Pretty much what we've said. Like, there's more to life than just working. So she did the extreme and, like, sold everything. And moved to Australia and bought a van. And, yeah, we just got talking, and she'd just moved. So, oh no, she'd been in a few weeks before I'd met her, and she was talking about how she's just, like, starting to venture south and all this stuff. Yeah, and then that kind of, I was just like, man, if she can do it, I can do it. Like,
wow.
She's come, like, on the other side of the world and done this,
wow.
Living a dream like that. And yeah, she just had this kind of, oh, well, kind of attitude.
Wow. Like,
it's all good. You know, she had no partner, no friends here. Was getting around through her art. She had, like, she was an artist.
Wow.
And would pay her way around, like, doing murals and all sorts of stuff for people. And I was like, oh, that's sick. So then, yeah. And then I got Honey, and here we are.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, and then
yeah, I've never, like, seen her again, but
wow.
Yeah. It's kind of cool, but
Well, it's so cool because people don't realize what kind of effect they can have on others.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you wrote literally a song to
and that. She full doesn't know that there's, like, a song written about it, which I think is even cooler.
Okay, and for people that are listening that don't know, I don't want to butcher the lyrics, but it goes something like this. Sold her soul.
Sold her heart.
Sold her heart to a
van on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sold her heart to a van on the road.
Yeah.
And literally, then what's the next part?
Sold her heart to a van on the road, and it goes to show that it doesn't really matter if you're broken alone.
And that's something that, like,
and I know. And it's so simple, but it's like,
it's fucking profound.
Yeah.
And all of us, like, on this podcast, that everybody I've podcasts with, and I'm sure a lot of people listening can relate with.
Yeah.
Like, totally. It doesn't matter if you're broke or alone.
Yeah. I think, yeah. Money is always one of those things that always plays on your mind and you're always going to think about, but it'll come. You can't, like, let it fully just mess you up. And then, but I've found also then the alone part, like, when you travel heaps, you, like, always meet heaps of people. And although, yeah, like I said before, you get lonely. But then there's other times where you, like, really appreciate your alone time as well. I don't know, yeah, the more I've been touring, the more people I've been seeing, talking and interacting with or playing to, it just zaps you, like, it drains you for sure. So, like, right now, I'm thoroughly enjoying chilling out and, like, not having to be anywhere for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, and I thought, and, yeah, when she said that, like, the broken alone thing, I was like, whoa, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I kind of actually, like, remind myself of that, like, I wrote that line and I was like, yeah, that's so true. Like, kind of got to snap back to reality. Mm. Oh, there goes Gary.
Oh, she's so magic. Spaghetti all over the sweater. I always do that too, whenever I say that.
Oh, man.
I'm so happy that happened. Oh, there goes Graham.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I kind of just got to remind myself that, and it's not all bad, and shit will happen.
Yeah.
We'll make shit happen.
Well, this is so important, because, like, obviously it's the same patterns that come up whenever I'm podcasting, and it's, you know, I've met a lot of people that were what you would classify as had their life made, in air quotes, you know?
Yeah.
Super rich, super successful business.
Hmm.
Yet they still give it all up, and I find them on the road, and now their life is much more fulfilling, is what
totally,
is the story that I'm being told, right?
Depends what you want as well, like, if you want to be super rich and sick jobs and careers and whatever, that's cool.
Mm.
Like, as long as you're, like, stoked with what you're doing, and I don't know, the whole 9-to-5 thing for me was just like, I got a, like, pretty decent taste of it. Like, I worked straight out of high school. I was never going to uni. Well, I was going to uni, but deep down I wasn't. And then I was just, yeah, and I just went straight into working, and I just wanted to, like, properly live.
Mm.
And yeah, I guess whatever makes you happy, like, yeah, people can have, you know, yeah, like you said, the silver spoon or whatever, and but, like, they're not, like, genuinely doing what they want to do.
Yeah.
And so I'm just stoked that I can do what I want to do quite easily.
Yeah, we're very privileged.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm super lucky that I just get to do what I want to do for a living and have heaps of fun while doing it. And, like, meet amazing people whilst doing it.
Like, all your best mates are doing it with you.
Literally, yeah. So
it's cool.
Crazy. That last tour, I didn't want to do a tour. I wanted to do a tour with someone, like, on the road with, in vans. Because it's our life. Like, this is our lifestyle. It's what we do. And I was so stoked. When I asked Felipe what he was doing, like, over November or whatever. And he was like, no, nothing. And I said, do you want to come on tour? We'll just go touring and surfing and vanning and playing music. And he's like, yeah. And I'm so glad he did, because it was sick. Wow. It was so fun. And, like, yeah, you just have moments where you're like, man, we're, like, properly living.
Wow.
It was awesome.
And so then with that, I I'm going to ask a question that maybe people don't often ask, but it's kind of what we do on the show.
Mm-hmm.
How do you not let your ego step in? You know, because I've talked to a lot of people around Byron Bay, and there's some people that have let their ego get in their way and maybe burned a lot of people to get to where they are.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious on, yeah, if you felt like that could be something that comes up or if that's not an issue for you at all.
Kind of only recently, like, I don't know. Not overall, because this is, I'm still kind of like the young pup on the scene. And this is like my first kind of year of, or like crack at it this year. But yeah, I don't know. Once you start doing like your own shows and they start going really well, there's a few people that like try to jump on the train, I guess. Just ride your wave with you. I'm normally pretty good with people and like judging how I feel about them, like initially. But just like always nice. Just like always be nice.
And you don't feel
I have this
like
theory, you gotta be the happiest guy in the room, like all the time. And if you are, everyone wants to be the happiest guy in the room. It works. You should try it.
I feel like I am naturally. See, like I naturally do that.
It's sick.
Yeah.
And once you're like constantly the happiest guy in the room, you can like really pinpoint the people who are really negative and like, or just like have this grudge or whatever. And then like I just go, well, that's not someone I want to like hang out with or associate with, and I hang out with fun people. Like, well, you know, like,
yeah,
Alex, Johnny, Fairly, like,
yeah,
they're all like
they're the best.
You couldn't like say a bad thing about them. And you know, yeah, and there's people that you meet for sure like along the way, like traveling heaps, and you can just take it with a grain of salt. There's people I've met and I've got back in the car and I was, oh, he was full on, but let's just keep going. Like, I don't have to talk to him ever again, but that was sick. Like, let's just keep going.
Yeah, totally.
But when, yeah, meeting heaps of different people is really good, I reckon. It makes you, like, realise how different everyone is and how no one's, like, ever going to be the same. And you can kind of pick or figure out which ones you're going to, like, click with the most. Yeah.
Such a
yeah, my dad's always said you got to hang around people that make you tick, like people that make you like want to do shit and have fun, or not just mope around and do nothing.
You want to be inspired by the
yeah,
people you're around.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Felly's like the most positive person I know, or Johnny or someone.
Yeah.
It's like, let's just go, let's do something. It's like,
you just sound like Johnny there.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, let's go do something. Right on.
Yeah, exactly. Hang loose. Amazing. Yeah. And so you recently played with, or were invited, or you played a show with Tash Sultana?
Yeah.
That's fucking huge.
Yeah, it was pretty big, hey.
And so did you get invited to that show, or how did you, like, do you know her? Or?
Yeah, no, I've met her before. I wouldn't say I know her. But, yeah, we kind of just have the same crew booking us and kind of same peoples, and yeah, she's been like hardcore touring, hey. She like did the States and Europe all this year, and I think when she wanted to come back to Australia and do like a few quieter intimate shows, when I mean that, I mean like 2,000 people in a room kind of show, like that's not intimate to me, but yeah, it was sick. It was like probably,
so it's your biggest show, yeah?
Yeah, it's the biggest like show I've played to people for sure. Yeah, blew my mind, hey. It was like so fun. I was saying it like so scary,
yeah,
but so fun. And like, yeah, it was in Melbourne at the Forum, and I'd never been to the Forum at all, and it's now my favourite place, like not even just to play but to go. Like, it's amazing. Like, it's super, it's a really beautiful theatre. The sound is, like, amazing. And it was such a sick night. It was so fun.
That's so cool. And it's nice that you felt scared, you know? Like, you felt alive. You had butterflies.
Yeah.
Like, that's feeling alive to me, you know? Pushing yourself out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. I actually said, when I got up there, I was like, oh, this is a bit bigger than a busk. But busking... Well, actually, the night before, Felipe and I went busking and played to about 25, 30 people on the street.
Wow.
And, like, that was sick. And then... like, the next night, we were, like, playing at the Forum. There was, like, 2,000 people there. And I was like, oh, like, oh, the, what is it? Cheese and chalk and cheese. I was just like.
Chalk and cheese?
Yeah.
Never heard that in my life.
Chalk and cheese. Like, just so different.
Chalk and cheese.
You haven't heard? Maybe that's an Australian
thing. That
ain't
a Canadian thing, I'll tell you that.
Okay. Yeah.
I love it, though.
It's probably an Australian thing, actually.
Chalk and cheese, baby.
It sounds bullshit, so it's probably an Australian thing, hey?
I reckon. Shit.
But yeah, so it was, yeah, such a fun night. I'd play that room the rest of my life if I could. It was
amazing.
Sick. Yeah.
So cool. So you have no end in sight for what you're doing right now? Like, you're just fully committed, you're in your van.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know. See how it goes. Honey's super easy right now. But yeah, I just got my schedule for like next year, so it's getting pretty chockers already. So, see how we go.
Are you touring again next year, or...?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be fun.
Epic. And predominantly around Australia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to go back west coast, which I only went there for the first time this year.
Wow.
And I loved it. I was staying with a mate there. And I only had, like, 4 days there. But this time we got, like, 4 shows and probably, like... you know, 4 days either side, so...
Is Felipe coming with you?
Or? I'm trying to twist his arm. I think he's pretty keen, but...
yeah.
He's never been west, so...
Wow.
Yeah, if we can get him there, it'll be sick.
Cool.
Just put him in the bags.
Well, I am aware that you, like, you're playing a show tonight at the
Northern.
What's
the time?
It's 7:54. Oh, we're right
easy.
On schedule, baby.
Easy.
Good.
Keep going if you want.
Ooh.
Ooh. You're like, ooh, running out of questions. I don't want to talk to this guy.
Yeah, I'm trying to escape here. Yeah, I guess there's like a kind of a question I think a lot of people, again, want to know but isn't talked about. I think there can be quite this... Well, let's put it this way, to be really honest. Yeah, I've been to a number of your shows now, and every time I am at the front, me and my mates, because we're like your guys' number one supporters. We fucking love ya. But there's often girls beside
me. Yeah. Love ya. You've been in Australia too long.
And there's often these girls that are beside us, and they like get like, oh my god, oh my god, Jack!
Yeah, right.
Really though, and it's so funny to watch because I'm just like thinking to myself, that's my mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's damn good, but he's my mate. And I'm just wondering, like, does that feel overwhelming for you sometimes? Like, you know, kind of like that star-struck kind of energy from a lot of girls? Like, how do you work through that?
Totally. That's tricky, hey? Like, I've always hated the word famous and popular, and like I just don't like associating myself with those words. And at the end of the day, like, when if you jump off stage and go and talk to people, and like they might get overwhelmed or whatever, you just like talk to them how I would talk to my mates or how I'd talk to you. Like, we're all humans. Like, we're all peoples. Like, it's not like I'm, you know, a different level of person to you. Like, we're all the same. I'm just playing guitar. And, yeah, of course, it's, like, super, super nice and flattering that they're that stoked to see you and be there. But, yeah, I guess, like, just try and keep it real. Like, I'm just I'm just a dude. Like, I don't know, yeah. I'm still learning how to deal with it, hey.
Yeah. Have you ever had, like, girls, like, throw themselves on you? Because there's, like, I mean, like, you know, it's like, how can I sleep with the band member? Like, no, seriously, though. There's a lot of that. Or, like, you know, it's this like, power imbalance, I guess.
Yeah, right.
It's really weird.
It is really weird.
Have you ever had any, like, uncomfortable experiences?
Nah, actually, no. Everyone's... pretty polite.
Mm.
We, probably the most, like, overwhelming one for me was we went on this last tour. I went and played in Shepparton, which is, like, rural Victoria.
Mm.
It's, like, 3 hours dead north of Melbourne. And there was this big festival out there, and I was, like, super stoked to be on the, like, lineup, and there was huge acts there. And, like, I had, like, obviously an earlier set, I think, like, a 1 p.m. or something like that in the afternoon, and it was super fun. Like, there was heaps of people there and screaming and, like, singing songs back to me and stuff, which blew my mind. And then I didn't think anything of it, because I was just like, yeah, let's... I said to Felipe, I was like, let's just go out there and listen, like, to the rest. Like, we're at a festival, like,
mm-hmm.
that's what you do. Like, you go listen to music and stuff. And we, like, walked out the gates, and there was, like, people, like, lining up for photos and at this festival and, like, screaming and all sorts of stuff. And I was like, wow. And we probably spent, I don't know, close to an hour and a half, like, just at this festival in the field, taking photos and stuff, and
whoa.
It like blew my mind. Like, I couldn't, you can't leave, because you're like, these people, like, they're like loving your stuff, and they're like stoked to see you, and it's not, you can't just like run away. So I was like,
whoa.
Yeah, that blew my mind. That was like my first moment of like, whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, and there's, I don't know, actually busking, you get heaps of like, we've had like heaps of notes and stuff, like put in your case and all sorts of stuff.
Notes, like what, like
calling. like real tacky stuff, like call me, like.
I love your hair.
Yeah, saw you playing on the street. Let's go get a drink.
No
it's
way.
Like, I'm just not gonna do that. Like, I mean, some other people might, but I'm just not that kind of person. I just wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, but, first of all, you don't know who the fuck left it.
Yeah, it could be. Like, I don't know, like. Man,
it could be a grandma.
Yeah, she's exactly. Like, honey, let me buy you totally. Some tea. But yeah, a few funny ones like that. But yeah, no, I'm still dealing with it. It's cool, but it's pretty like a stoked feeling that people like get that reaction from you.
Yeah,
I reckon it's pretty cool.
Yeah, when I it was your last show at the Northern. Nisa and I were up front there, and we just weaseled our way to the front, and I had a girl confront me, and she was just like, I've been waiting here for hours. She's like, this is my spot. And literally gave me like the bitchiest look, and I was like, whoa, this is wild. Like,
look of death.
We're at the Northern.
Yeah.
There's my friends up there, like, I want to... And I was like, holy shit, man. Like, people are actually... Like, this is serious.
Mm.
Anyway, so it was just so interesting. Like, but I'm feeling that from, like, the crowd.
Yeah, right.
It must be a different experience to, yeah, be up there.
I hope it's all, like, fun stuff down there. I don't know.
It's groovy, but, I mean, I could have got, like, stomped.
Yeah, right. Sounds pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
That's wild. Scary now.
No, I mean, you know, people...
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I'm not even going to try and downplay it. I was kind of wigged out. I was like, sister. We're all watching the same show here.
Yeah. I know. It's kind of funny. Like, the whole... And I feel like, obviously, bigger bands and stuff, they like... You know, if they walked out into a crowd and stuff, they'd just get, you know, squashed and, like,
eaten.
By fans and stuff. And I'm kind of like, I kind of like being able to get out there and like actually talk to people mm-hmm. properly. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of cool. It makes it a bit more real and a bit more like intimate, and like you get heaps more interaction out of it
mm-hmm.
rather than like, we could have quite easily just sat backstage and drank all the beers and gone in the morning and not seen anything or anyone.
True.
But that would suck. Like,
yeah.
I know some people, for me it sucks, but some people love it. And
but you love to connect, right? Like, you're a connector.
Yeah, so. I'd rather be out there like talking and like saying like thanks for coming and like mm-hmm. shit like that. Because yeah, I think you can't like take it for granted
because
it's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so for people to follow your music and to follow you, what's the best way to go about that?
Spotify. Okay. You have Spotify in Canada, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, Spotify. And there's like a link in my Instagram that's like where the shows are and tickets and all that sort of stuff. So
awesome.
That's probably easiest as well.
Cool. And you guys, I was trying to get Jack to play a song before I started, but he wasn't feeling that.
Oh, we're at stage fright.
You had stage fright?
Yeah.
Are you feeling nervous now?
Big stage. Honey stage.
You were in your home. You're playing on a stage tonight. You're more nervous in your home with me.
Yeah.
Aw, that's cute. That's really cute. So you guys will just have to go to Spotify, and Gypsy is my favorite song, so make sure you guys give
that a
listen.
Is that your favorite one, is it?
Yeah. I think it's because I resonate a lot
with
it. It's
the lifestyle.
Yeah, and it's like, it's very catchy, and I resonate with it, so I feel like it like touches me, which I kind of believe is what music should do.
Yeah, sick.
So far, that is my favorite.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. And you guys know the deal. A new episode comes out every Tuesday. I'm so grateful you all tuned in today and shared this special time with us. And I look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you, thank you. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode, you guys. Remember that Humans of Van Life releases an episode every Tuesday, so come back next week. And if you loved this podcast, please leave a written review on Apple Podcasts. It helps others find the podcast and keep it going. Thanks.